we conclude our expository preaching week, today we have the privilege of having Stephen Burns, who comes to us. He came to us in 2015 as a student here at ABC, and pausing his education for a time, the Lord has brought him back to our campus as of last semester, and he is now a junior in the Biblical Counseling Program. Stephen calls both New York and Pennsylvania home, but his church home is right here in Beckley, where he's a member of Bible Baptist Church. This summer, Stephen is seeking to fulfill his internship requirement, and next year he is going to serve as the head resident in McCarroll Hall. Stephen, we look forward to hearing from you as you come and share the Word of God with us today. God bless you.
Good morning. If you would please turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. As you all know by now, I have been tasked with the responsibility of sharing a very familiar scripture passage with you. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is familiar to us. You've probably memorized portions of it, and if you haven't, that's probably why you're not doing so well in some of your classes. If we have learned principles from it in the classes that we've taken, and you've heard it preached at least twice, because you've heard it preached twice this week, both from Jeremiah and Ian, who did good jobs on presenting God's word to us. But on top of its familiarity, I also have another struggle today, the fact that it's Friday. You all are tired. It's been a very long week of a long semester of a long year of a long pandemic. And so not only do I have to battle the familiarity, but also the tiredness. And you may be tempted to zone out. You may be struggling to stay awake. And I'll admit, when I first started this assignment, it was purely academic. Homiletics class, I have to write another sermon, here we go again. But as I studied God's powerful words, it changed my heart. Not only did his word challenge me, but it also encouraged me. My responsibility today is to share God's word in a way that is acceptable and pleasing to him. And today I want to share with you what God has shared with me. So to begin, let's read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of all of them the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving us your written word. I thank you for the opportunity you have given me to share it with these, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank you for the example of Paul and his relationship with Timothy. Father, we can see that just like in the early church, the reality of the times is that people are sinful and that they will become more and more sinful. I thank you for giving us grace that is sufficient for today and for giving us hope by letting us know that you reign victorious in the end. I ask you that you would help us to accept the responsibility of both the training and the truth that you have given to us. I ask that you would help me do just that this morning, that I would share exactly what you want me to, not a single word more and not a single word less. Maybe you be worshipped in both my teaching and in all of our hearts today. We love you, Father. Please help us to love you more and to love your words more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So before jumping into this passage, we first need to look at some context, like good ABC students that we are, because context determines meaning. So Paul was sitting in a Roman prison and wrote a letter to Timothy, who was probably still in Ephesus. In chapter 4, verses 6 through 9, Paul says that he'll soon be martyred. But he has fought the good fight, finished his course, and kept the faith. And now in heaven, there's a crown of righteousness waiting for him. All throughout this letter, we see Paul's love for Timothy shine through. But we also see Paul's fervent passion for the gospel to be shared. In the midst of these two things, we see Paul's urgency, as he knew the end of his life was coming soon. Paul realizes that these may be the last words he ever gets to tell his precious son in the faith, Timothy. And knowing this context makes me want to pay very close attention to exactly what Paul says here. In this passage, Paul reminds Timothy of their past together. He reminds them that things will only get worse and worse, but in the midst of that, Timothy is responsible for both the training and the truth that God has given to him. So the first thing we notice in this passage is Paul's relationship with Timothy. Paul's relationship with Timothy. In verse 10, Paul says, "Thou hast fully known me." And according to one linguistic key, this word is defining the relationship of a disciple to his master. It means to study at close quarters, to follow in spirit, carefully noting of you, to reproduce as to make an example. This word holds the weight of what we might call an apprenticeship or mentorship today. In verse 10, we see that Timothy knew Paul's character. He followed it. He studied it at close quarters. Paul's relationship with Timothy was intimate because he knew Paul's character. Verse 10 says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." Paul says to Timothy, "Timothy, you know me completely. You have known my doctrine." To be honest, most of my life, I didn't know what doctrine meant. It was this term that they would throw out every once in a while. I always knew that whatever coming next was going to be really boring. But doctrine simply means teaching. Timothy knew Paul's teaching firsthand. Paul goes on, "Timothy, you know my manner of life." Have you ever thought about what Paul did when he wasn't preaching or teaching or writing letters or sitting in prison? What did he do during his downtime? What funny stories did he tell Timothy from his childhood? Maybe he taught Timothy how to be a tent maker, to be able to provide for himself. Or, in modern times, Timothy would have known exactly how Paul liked his coffee. My personal opinion, he would have drank it black like a man. He was no sissy. I know that's a bit far, but the point is that Timothy knew exactly, he knew Paul. He had that close, intimate relationship with him. Next, Paul says, "You know my purpose. You know why I do what I do. You know why I'm willing to become all things for all men. You know why I'm willing to suffer for Christ." He doesn't say it here, but all throughout Paul's writings, he says it. And you can almost hear him whisper it in this passage. "Timothy, for the sake of the gospel." You see, Timothy knew Paul's driving force was his faith. In chapter 1, Paul says, "God, who has saved us and called us unto a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Paul continues, "Timothy, you have known my long suffering and my love." Imagine with me for a minute. Paul, an older man, sitting in a prison, knowing he was going to soon enter into God's presence. What did he think about? What memories ran through his head at night while he tried to sleep? Maybe it was another night that he sat in prison. That one when the jailer and all of his family got saved. Maybe it was when he was writing that letter to the Corinthians about what true love looks like. Maybe it was about all of the people he loved. Peter, Barnabas, Silas, Titus, Timothy, don't forget Mark, Man, he was trouble to begin with, but you know what? God really used him in the end. Maybe it was all those churches he helped establish all throughout all of his different missionary journeys. Maybe he would run through the names of the soldiers that were chained to him while he sat in prison that he got to share the gospel with. I don't know exactly what he was thinking that night, but there's one memory we do know for sure, and I think that starts with the last word in verse 10. Patience. One lexicon defines this word as endurance, steadfastness, or my personal favorite, cheerful endurance. And you see that modeled in Paul's life. Paul seemed to expound on this word in verse 11 as Timothy is reminded of the relationship not only by knowing Paul's character, but also knowing Paul's trials. Verse 10 and 11 say, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, longsuffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of all of them, the Lord delivered me." Here, Paul makes reference to some of his early days in the ministry. In fact, it was the first missionary journey he ever went on. While teaching in Iconium, the Jews got together and stirred up trouble. But learning of the assassination plot, both Paul and Barnabas quickly fled the city. The Jews from Antioch at Iconium followed them to Lystra. Once again, stirring up the people, they stoned Paul. They dragged him out of the city and left him there, thinking he was dead. But he wasn't. He got up, and the next day he went back into the city, where he preached the gospel and taught many people. And at first, out of all of the memories Paul could have thought of, I was curious why he shared this one. It didn't really make much sense to me. So I did some research, and what I found is that this is where Timothy grew up. These were his old stomping grounds. Timothy would have known exactly what happened there. And it wasn't until the second missionary journey that Timothy would then join Paul. And Paul reminds Timothy, these things that you are familiar with, he may have seen Paul get stoned. His mother and grandmother probably were taught under Paul. Timothy, you know these things. And out of all of the persecution I endured there, the Lord delivered me. As I was working through these verses, I couldn't help but think of my own mentor, Jim Bracelin. He's been here for missions conference and even spoke earlier this semester in chapel. I traveled with him for just 2 years, but I know Jim Bracelin. I know what he's passionate about. I know what drives his heart as a missionary. I have seen his faith lived out in the day-to-day choices that he makes. As the definition puts it, I have studied Jim Bracelin at close quarters. But then I stopped to think about it. Who am I investing my life into? So first we saw Paul's relationship with Timothy. And as we go on, Paul reminds Timothy of the reality of the times. The reality of the times. As we continue towards the coming of Christ, more persecution and evil will prevail. In verse 12, we see the persecution of Christians. It says, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." I don't know how much you keep up on persecution of Christians around the world. I did a little research and found some statistics on this. Every day, 13 Christians are killed for their faith. That's nearly 100 Christians a week. Every day, 12 Christians are arrested or imprisoned. An additional 5 are abducted. Every day, 12 churches or Christian buildings are attacked. Praise God we live in a country where there's religious freedom, where we do not suffer like so many of our fellow believers suffer all around the world. I want you to think about your own life. Here in the U.S., we have it pretty easy. But there's a culture, and this is how people are, that if you don't fit the mold, you don't fit in. Those who live godly in Christ Jesus' example do not fit the mold of this world. The world does not like those who don't fit their mold, and we see this happening at great extent in almost every area of life across America today. Do you fit the mold, or are you standing separate from the world? Not only will there be persecution for Christians, but we also see the perversion of the world. Verse 13 says, "But evil men and seducers," which means imposters, "will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Earlier in this passage, Paul says, "Understanding this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasing, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." The reality is that people will become more and more wicked. And you should not be surprised when we see this happening all around us. Once again, I'm going to ask you, are you fitting into the mold of this world? Or are you a lover of self, a lover of money, a lover of pleasure, rather than a lover of God? First, we saw Paul's relationship with Timothy. Second, we saw the reality of the times. And in the middle of these two things, Paul reminds Timothy of his responsibility for training and truth. Timothy's responsibility of training and truth. The responsibility of training is seen in verse 14. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." While Timothy probably learned from many people, there's three people mentioned in this passage worth mentioning. First, Timothy learned from Paul. We saw this in verses 10 and 11. Timothy was a mentee and got to observe and got to be trained in ministry from one of the greatest missionaries in the history of the church. Timothy received not only instructions personally, but he also received letters. And as I was sitting in chapel on Wednesday while Ian was preaching, I came to the realization and the understanding that we have the same letter that Timothy did. The same training that Timothy was receiving, we have also received. And as much training as Timothy received from Paul, Paul also gives credit to two other people. In chapter 1, Timothy learned from his mother and grandmother. Chapter 1, verse 6 says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and now I'm persuaded that is in thee also." You see, Timothy had a rich heritage of faithful people. Paul charged him to continue in that heritage. There's a trend that is growing in people our age, and it greatly concerns me. In fact, it's a burden that weighs heavily on my heart. People that grew up in Christian homes, attending godly churches, are walking away from it. People quit attending church faithfully. And I would be foolish to think that everyone in here will one day go into full-time vocational ministry. But the fact is, you have been trained and you understand why it is essential for all of us to be involved in a local church. Many have backslidden. They've turned to drugs, they've turned to alcohol, they've turned to materialism, and they just think, if I can get one more thing, I'll be satisfied. But that satisfaction never comes. People from ABC, who I've counted as close friends, have now openly rejected God's truth and are engaged to their same-sex partner. Worse yet, someone from my freshman year, now a graduate from ABC, will soon be marrying their partner and is advocating for reform within the church. There's an emphasis on love and acceptance for everyone, rather than the truth that's found in Scripture. They say that God wants all of us to feel loved. All of us should experience God's love. And so however that happens, that must be of God. It's true that everything your parents ever taught you was not right. It's true that everything your pastor ever preached was not correct. And it's true that everything the teachers here say is not 100% truth. But the fact is, all of us have received training. And we are responsible for the training that we have received. Not only is there the responsibility for training, but there's also the responsibility of truth. In verse 15 through 17, it says this, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Paul gives four reminders to Timothy regarding the truth of Scriptures. First, we see that the Scriptures are able to make one wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Like we saw earlier, Paul's driving passion was the gospel. Second, Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Each of us have a copy of God's very words. We don't have to question what God is like or what he expects from us, like so many false religions do. God told us clearly in his word what he expects, what he is like, and we can know him through that. Those who have had Dr. Rinker for a class has seen his love for the Scriptures. And a thought that often came up in Doctrine 1 was along the lines of, if you love God, you will love his words. And vice versa. If you don't love God's word, do you truly love God? Third, Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In intermediate counseling, Mr. Best likes to use this illustration of how a Christian life is like a car on a highway. Doctrine teaches you the way you should be going. Reproof shows you how you got off track. Correction shows you how to get back going the right direction. And instruction in righteousness keeps you going the right direction. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness lead to this last truth. Scripture is able to complete and equip for every good work. Not only is it able to perfect us, but it equips us to help other people as well. Being in the biblical counseling program, you have no idea how much peace these verses bring me. Not only is God's word sufficient to help me and to perfect me, but it equips me to help other people. Sometimes I feel untrained, unequipped, insufficient, and unable to do what God has put before me. And you know what? I am. Because God's word is sufficient. Whether it's helping a brother in Christ or even for preaching here today, I do not feel sufficient. And God knew that I would need this verse preaching here today. You see, it's not in ourselves or in our own strength, but it's God's word that equips us for every good work. Feeling inadequate should always turn us back to the truth in God's word. Timothy had the responsibility of truth, not only for his own life, but for every good work. The truth of God's word is sufficient for salvation. If you are not 100% sure that you are saved, 1 John 5:13 says that you can know that you are saved. And I would love to share with you from the truth of God's word how you can be saved so that you can be sure. The truth is God's inspired words. They are profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. And that truth is able to complete you, thoroughly equipping you for every good work. I know we've covered a lot of information today. We talked about Paul's relationship with Timothy. We talked about the reality of the times. We talked about how Christians are persecuted and sin is going to become more and more prevalent. We looked at Timothy's responsibility to both truth and training. Timothy had a rich heritage of faith. And he had the truth, God's very words. So to conclude, I'm going to read four questions, and I'd like you to listen the first time and pick one of those questions out and write it down. These four questions are, into whom should I be investing my life? Do I love self, money, or pleasure more than I love God? What patterns or attitudes do I see in my life that I need to change? Do I love God's word, allowing it to have full effect in my life? So I would like all of you to choose one of those questions and to write it down. Question number one, into whom should I be investing my life? Question two, do I love self, money, or pleasure more than I love God? Question 3, what patterns or attitudes do I see in my life that I need to change? And question 4, do I love God's word, allowing it to have full effect in my life? In application in my own personal devos, I always like to come up with a question. Because if you have a question that you don't ever reach the answer, it constantly goes round and round in your mind. And that's what meditation is. And I'd like you to meditate on God's word today. And one of these questions I would ask for you to think through the rest of today. And let God's word change your heart. It would truly be a pity if any of us left here today without allowing God's word to change our hearts. Please pray with me. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you that you've given it to us today in our own language that we can read, that we all have at least one copy of it. I thank you for the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy and the fact that you included it in your word to us. I thank you for Paul's example as a mentor and the relationship that they had together. I thank you that we can see his character, but also his persecution. I thank you that you have warned us about the time we're in and just the reality of it, that evil men and sin will become more and more prevalent. I thank you that you did give us the rest of the Bible and that we know how it ends, and that we can just trust you because you do reign victorious. I thank you for your word and just the responsibility of both the training that we have received, but also the truth that we have received. I pray that none of us would leave here, that we would graduate from ABC having received such good training and turn to the world and reject what we have received. I pray that you would help us be good stewards of that training. I pray that we'd also be good stewards of your truth, that we'd let it have full effect in our life, but also that we would learn to be completely dependent on it, and in the fact that we can be prepared for every good work. I thank you for the privilege that you've given me today to get to share your word with these people. I pray that it will influence my heart and that it will influence their heart. I love you, Father. Please help us to love you and your word more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.